Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering...
Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Welcome to another life-altering, mind-bending, mind-expanding, soul-cleansing episode of Raw Islam, the only podcast that features Imam Azhar, who travels the world spreading knowledge and good cheer. Kind of like Santa Claus, but not really. I mean, he got the beard and everything going, but he's not as big, not at all. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the hardest working imam that I know, Imam Azhar.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Peace and blessings be upon all our listeners across the globe. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight here on Facebook Live and across the world through our podcast on iTunes and also on Google Play. Well, you know, Carl, we have to debate that. Santa Claus, kind of with the beard, but not white. Haven't gained that many pounds since.
No. I was specifically talking about the weight. I was not talking about whether he's white or wasn't white. Specifically,
I had to
the weight
part into it. Well, thank you, everyone. And of course, Carl, Happy New Year to you and to all our listeners across the globe.
No, I was specifically talking. Sorry about that. Hold on. There we go.
Did you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you too. Sorry, I was dealing with some stuff.
Well, good there. Okay, and you know, interesting thing is that when we come around to a Gregorian calendar New Year, amongst the many of us here in this world, and on this part of the world at least, we celebrate it as the completion of a year and the beginning of a new year, which brings new opportunities, and with those opportunities come new challenges. And we anticipate that we have the endurance and the strength to face those challenges and to weather the storm and to surf those tides. And it's funny, Carl, in the midst of all those, you know, Facebook posts of Happy New Year 2018, you get someone who says, yesterday was 1439 and tomorrow's 1439 also. Like, you know, they kind of bring the Islamic New Year into it. It doesn't mean that we're trying to underestimate the Islamic Hijri calendar in any way, but in the world that we live in today, we calculate time for our day-to-day activities according to the Gregorian calendar. So I don't think it is anything wrong to acknowledge a new chapter. And for those who say, well, how do you celebrate a new year when you're 1 year closer to your death? Well, every second we're moving closer to our death. That should be a reminder. But that shouldn't quell all the happiness that we may experience or that we may share or celebrate with our friends and families. So, Carl, I wanted to get that off my chest because sometimes it's like a thorn, you know, in a smooth path. Like you're just taking in all the roses and all the different colors and the different aromas, and then prick, this thorn comes out and gets you. So I just wanted to cover that. But thank you, Carl. How was your new year?
Alhamdulillah, it was very good. It was very quiet. We didn't do much. We just kind of stayed here and sat with the kids and, you know, just watched TV and made fun of people that were standing in New York Times when it was square, when it was so cold and we were fairly warm. So, you know, other than that, it was great. No, it was very good. And thank you for making that statement too, by the way. Because I do hear and see that a lot. The big one, of course, you know, astaghfirullah bidda, that you would say Happy New Year, astaghfirullah, you're accepting the ways of the kafir. And it's like, yeah, no, see, the society that I live in runs by the Gregorian calendar, so unfortunately, whether you like it or not, that's what I'm going to observe. So best of luck with everything, though.
Well, that's what, you know, Carl, just to piggyback off what you said, I also did a semi-staycation with the family, staying at home, enjoying each other and spending time together. I think it's important, even though sometimes it may not be as smooth as one anticipates it to be. It's just important to kind of spend that time together and value the blessings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. He's given us a roof over our head. He's given us food to eat. He's given us people that we share our lives with. I think it's important to spend some time together and build on those blessings. And yes, Carl, for the cold snap that's affected you all in the Northeast, it's affected almost this entire country, including Florida. And truth be told, I was just talking to a lady this afternoon at a store, and I was telling her how I predicted, I think 10 or 11 years ago, that one day it's going to snow here in Florida. And when I departed that store and went to the next store, the lady told me it had flurries last night in St. Petersburg, which is across the bridge from here. And I'm like, no, it didn't. She goes, yes, it did. And I personally witnessed it. So they're actually forecasting, some people are, the possibility of a snowfall. We're in our 30s. Right now we're in our low 40s. We're going to hit 30s again tonight with a wind chill factor of the upper 20s. So times are changing. It's getting very cold. I think up in Chicago it's minus 11 Fahrenheit. Up in New York was minus 2, I think, at the time of the dropping of the ball for 2018. So everyone stay warm, stay safe across the world. Wherever you go, keep this factor in mind, which is weather. One of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, that inna Allah 'indahu 'ilmu as-sa'ah wa yunazzilu al-ghayth wa ya'lamu ma fil arham. He talks about five things which he exclusively knows, and one of them is, of course, the falling of the rain, where the rain would fall, how much would fall. This is all the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keeping that in mind, we should be very careful and watchful over what happens in our environment as we step out of the house. Make sure you take your sweaters if needed and your umbrellas or your sunscreen, depending on where you are, and stay safe. That being said, Carl, today we want to take a journey into history, because we want to talk about an issue which has really sprung up lately since a certain thing named Bitcoin penetrated the $1,000 mark and made some amazing astronomical gains in the end of 2017, with some very sharp nosedives in between. I want us to talk about wealth today. And I feel that it's my duty as a scholar who is not an expert in finances, who is not a mufti of any kind, but I wanted to weigh in with my two cents on something based on a very simplistic base perception and concept of wealth. Does that make sense, Carl?
Yes, it does.
And the reason we're doing that is we talked about the new year. It brings forth great opportunity and challenges. Some of these opportunities are new and some of them are continuous. And in a similar fashion, some of the challenges we'll face are new and some of them are continuous, i.e. they've been happening throughout the course of history. It's just a matter of how it addresses you directly or indirectly, and how you then respond to it directly or indirectly. So we want to go into the history of wealth. As Muslims, we believe that Allah created this entire universe, everything that we know thus far, and everything that we may know tomorrow, and everything that we'll never ever know till the end of time. It's all His creation. And going back and piggybacking off one of our discussions a few segments ago, was that Allah made the humankind, He made the humankind inhabitants of this earth. This earth is something that we own. It's something that we run. It's something that we govern. It's something that we care for. We have that power more than animals, fishes, insects, the air, the mountains, the sea, and so on and so forth. To solidify this point, when Allah created Adam, He had a competition between Adam, peace be upon him, and the angels, where Allah told him the names of everything that is on this earth, that is at our disposal, what it is, and through that, what its purpose is. So Allah asked Adam, what is that? He said, river, water. Angel said, we don't know. Because again, this isn't the world made for them exclusively. So again, For humankind, this earth is where we inhabit exclusively, with all other creations being at our service, and our responsibility in response to that service is to use it, not to abuse it. When we go back into the history, we're talking about centuries and centuries and centuries. Wealth has been something always existent. So, for example, there was two types of transactions where I would trade bread for butter. I would give you a few slices of bread and you'd give me a few sticks of butter, for example. And there was something known as a universal currency as gold and silver. Now, gold and silver has been around for the ages. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about gold and silver in Holy Scriptures. The reason he speaks about this is because its purpose of creation is that it is mal, it is wealth, and it is naqd, it's a currency. It's something that holds exclusive value that can be utilized to either invest, grow, or use as a currency for transaction of purchasing items other than it. Make sense? So you don't kind of trade gold for gold. You trade gold for a house. You trade gold for a car. It was a currency. Allah gives us one story in the Quran that comes to mind of Qarun. Qarun was a very rich, spoiled, godless king. He had so much wealth. Allah says in the Quran, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, Inna Qaruna kana min qawmi Musa. Verily, Qarun was from the people of Moses. So he was a person that lived during the time of Moses, peace be upon him. Fabagha alayhi, he really was tyrant. He went all out. And Allah says, Wa atainahu min al kunuzi. And verily, we had gifted him with treasures. Guns is a treasure. Kunuz is the plural. Treasures. Ma inna mafatihahu. The treasures of which its keys. Okay, everyone, if you picture treasure like a safe, picture a safe like you have in a hotel room or a safe box in a bank or a safe unit that is you see in someone's office. Now multiply that hundreds of times, okay? Just say we make thousands of them. Just say let's make 10,000. How's that, Carl? 10,000 safe boxes.
Yes, 10,000 safe boxes. Sounds good.
10,000 safe boxes. Now, within these 10,000 safe boxes, there are thousands and thousands of gold coins, just say, for example. Allah is saying about this Qarun, ma inna mafatihahu latanu'u usbatu ulil quwa. Allah is saying the keys of those treasures, which are laden with treasure, used to be held by armies. They used to walk with him wherever he went, wherever he traveled, holding the keys of his treasure. They never used to hold a treasure because it was so much that the army couldn't even hold. They used to hold the keys. Long story short, the point of bringing up that story is that even at the time of Moses, it was known as a treasure. It was known as something of value that would be safeguarded and protected and kept. In our world, we talk about history, Carl, and it's sad that, you know, a lot of people have very shallow understanding of history. You know, most of us, when we talk about history, it dates back maybe 100 years, 50 years, 20 years, or maybe for the duration of our life if we really like catching up with things. For example, people ask me what year I'm born. I tell them the year that the Iranian Revolution occurred, Elvis died. And, you know, I could talk about things. There was a hijacking of the Kaaba in Mecca, for example. I know these things happen at the time of the year that I was born in. Point to be said is that it's imperative that we understand things in historical context before we understand it in the context that we're trying to understand it within. Maybe Islamic, economic, finance, whatever the case may be. So now this gold and silver was, of course, a currency, but as a raw gold and raw silver, it then took the shape of gold coins and silver coins, and that turned into dirhams and dinars. When you go to historical museums and you see the currencies that they used back in those days, they're coins. Those coins were made on gold and silver. So the value of that number was based on the value of that amount of gold or silver. Around in the 1900s, we then came to the paper money concept, where instead of holding gold coins, because they could become heavy, right, Carl? You have, like, just say 100 gold coins in your pocket. That's really going to weigh you down, right?
Yes. Yeah. I know when I traveled back in the 90s, I forget where it was. I don't know if it was England or France. A lot of their currency was coins. And by the end of the, you'd go out, and by the end of the day, you'd be walking around with just a pocket full of coins.
And you're so right, because in England, you have the 1p, the 2p, the 5, the 10, the 50, the pound. And the pound coin is so heavy, you get 10 of those, your pocket is sagging. And the highest bill they have is a 50 pounds, 50. Now, let me take this to, let's take the pounds, the sterling pound. So just say you're a millionaire. And gold coins, that is so hard to transport. It's just hard. So what they did, they made paper money. And that paper money was based off of gold. So a $20 bill was equivalent to, I believe, an ounce of gold. So the 20 represented the ounce. So the transition occurred in the 1900s, where we did away with currencies. Because of what reason? Because people started amassing more wealth. Right? That's really the reason. People before us weren't crazy. They weren't stupid. They understood wealth, but they never amassed as a general population so much wealth that it became a nuisance or a concern to transport. Like, you know, we have to go buy a loaf of bread, 20 gold coins, man, someone's going to rob you, right? You could have an ATM card. So what they did was it went to paper money. Now, 1971, the dollar, which was backed by gold, lost its standard. So in 1971, the dollar was no longer backed by gold. It was just a currency. But by then, it was, of course, the petrodollar, which was the standard of using a currency for the global market to purchase oil. So it kind of tied in with the Saudi rial at 3.75 to $1. And what happened was it became the global currency for trade. Now, what happened as it divorced itself from gold, it no longer held a value. And as time went on, the value of gold rose and the value of the dollar as in comparison to gold depreciated. But since it was so publicly used and so widely needed across the globe, there was no chance for it to be contested, challenged, or questioned because it was just the dollar. We've been through many economic crashes in the 80s. We're talking about the 2007 recently, and maybe one that's coming up very soon in our world. What happened in all these instances, the pumping of more dollar notes as a currency with no backing. Now, in the midst of all this paper money, we came up with checks. You remember checks, Carl?
I still use my checkbook, thank you.
I just stopped using my checkbook in the last 8 months because the places I used to pay with check are now automatically withdrawn. But yes, checkbooks are something that you write an amount on and that's transferred from your account to another person's account. I'm not here to try to give a history lesson, but then we went from checks to ATM cards to digital currency, which is known as numbers. So Carl, for example, you work, just say I work a job, right? I work 40 hours a week, maybe 160 hours a month, and I get a paycheck, just say, of $2,000. The number 2000 is transferred from the company to my bank account. I do not see $2,000. I don't touch $2,000. They're just numbers. So in the midst of this world of just digital numbers, which represent a paper dollar, which once used to represent a gold coin, if you understand where I'm going with history, we have to look at history. Look at the long term versus the short term. And in this, we're keeping in context new challenges from continuous challenges. What's happened is there's something known as cryptocurrencies. Cryptocurrencies are a new type of currency, which was founded in 2009 with the Bitcoin, which only came to knowledge of many people in the world this last year because it went from 10,000 Bitcoins used to purchase two pizzas. Now, one Bitcoin is valued today at close to $15,000. It hit close to $20,000, then it dipped back down. There's the ups and downs. The question I'm trying to present here today, I'm not going to talk about is it halal or haram. I want you to take a moral understanding and a moral stance based on history, facts, and figures. History I just laid out in front of you. In the last 30 or 40 years, we've gone from a gold-backed paper to a paper to a handwritten check to ATM debit card to mobile apps to only digital numbers. And now we've got something known as cryptocurrencies like Bitcoins and the many others that are out there, which is somewhat interesting. It's a new concept for many. But Carl, can you explain to us what Bitcoin is? I've been talking for so long. Tell me what a Bitcoin is. Well, what cryptocurrency is?
Yeah, no problem. So essentially, I mean, I'm more than happy to share what little knowledge I have, because most of my knowledge comes from the tech side of things. So essentially what you have is you have a blockchain that people run an algorithm on to get to the end of the blockchain. And when you hit the end of the blockchain, you find a coin. And it could be any blockchain. It doesn't, but like you said, the most common, the most prevalent is Bitcoin. And you just run through the thing. You run the algorithm. The algorithm breaks down the blockchain, gets to the end of the blockchain, finds coin. Boom, you've got a Bitcoin. And somewhere between point A and point B, somebody decided that that was actually worth some money. And so I know in Colorado, it's you can go to the coffee shop and I think you said pizza a little while ago, and so you can spend your Bitcoin as money, but it's not real money. It's just the blockchain that we have attached a value to. That is the best of my explanation.
Well, that's great. And let me simplify that, because you've said some terminologies that a lot of listeners are like, whoa, that's like, so let me try to put it down in a simplified format. So cryptocurrency is a new form of currency. Currency means something that's used for the sake of transaction. Its basis is something that's not tangible. It's not something you could feel or touch. It's just the acceptability factor of it in our society. So I'm having these debates with scholars for the last few weeks, and that's why I want to bring it out. And I want you as the listener to make your decision, because countries like China and South Korea have banned cryptocurrency. And I feel that was a good take and a good judgment call, because it's sometimes not the best thing to do is dive into something in the get-go. Let things play out. And so a lot of people, when Bitcoin came out, it's known as a cryptocurrency. Again, it's just one of many. It's like a dollar. There's Canadian dollar. Then there's British pound. Then there's Egyptian pound. There's so many types of currency. So this is like a currency. Its basis is as insignificant as our dollar today, because our dollar is based on usage and its accessibility and its need, just as this is building its image on the same thing, nothing tangible. Bitcoins come into process through something known as mining. Now, when you think about mining, you think about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, because they got those pickaxes and they're just going away in those caves. Well, it's in similar fashion that they use algorithms and complex mathematical equations to solve, and every time they solve it, it comes out with one Bitcoin. And those Bitcoins, they've made only 21 million for circulation, of which I think 16 or 17 million have already been purchased. From 2009, they were insignificant in value. In the last year, they went to 1,000, then it went all the way up to 20,000 with many dips in between. A lot of people are saying Bitcoin is good. And I ask them why. They say because it eliminates third party. So, Carl, you're sitting right now in Washington, correct? Or Virginia?
Yeah, no, I can see DC's right there. It's right there. I can see it.
No, but you're in Virginia, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Carl's in Virginia. I'm in Florida. I'm going to pull out my phone, and I'm going to open up PayPal, and I'll say, Carl, I want to send you $20. So what happens, I cannot give Carl the $20 through the computer, so I'll have to open up PayPal, and I'll have to send it to Carl via his email or via his phone number or his account. I'll send him $20. So what cryptocurrency is coming in the market is saying we're eliminating the middleman and the third party, is that I can give you money with you getting it directly. Because when I go to coffee shop and I purchase coffee, I'm not giving the coffee store owner the money. My bank is transferring numbers from my account and they're adding it to yours. So subtracting $4 from my account and putting $4 into your account. You don't see it, you don't feel it, it's just a number, right? So they're saying we're eliminating the third person. I want everyone to keep this in mind. Eliminating the third person, I could do a transaction with Carl with no one knowing that I gave him $20. So that's my privacy. And number three, it is secure. Now, when you talk about blockchain, Carl, block is a period of time where all transactions of this currency is being recorded, verified, authenticated, and approved. Okay, when you're talking, there's no third party. Yes, I don't have to go Bank of America to TD Bank and send you money per se, but it's still being monitored by many people. It's being monitored by many people. Number two, a blockchain is where there is a network of computers around the world and people around the world that have this like spreadsheet. Just imagine a humongous spreadsheet bigger than Jesus' table and the final dinner. It's just a humongous spreadsheet and everyone is watching transactions happen. Granted, they may not know who you are and who is receiving. Based on this, my fellow listeners, I want to give you my take on Bitcoin. My take is beware. I'm not going to say it's halal or haram. I'm going to say be cautious because number one, it lacks consistency just like the dollar lacks consistency over the last 50, 60 years. It doesn't have the strength of time behind it. Number two, if you're going to get into it, my take is if you're going to get into it just as a hobby or just as an investment and you're not going to keep on looking at it every second, go ahead and do it. But remember, you may lose all that money also. But if you're getting into it in order to gain a sharp high, you want to put in like some of the other cryptocurrencies tripled in the last week. They went from like $20 to $80. They went from $100 to $300 and more. Some went to $600. If you're getting in it to just for the sake of gaining fast money, then remember, this is called gambling. And in Islam, gambling is?
Haram.
Haram. So I'm not saying cryptocurrency is haram. Understand my thing. It all goes down to your intent. It all goes down to your purpose. It all goes down to what you're willing to sacrifice. The amazing part here is people have taken loans off their houses. They've taken liens on their mortgages just for this. It's crazy. It is so crazy. So that's what I say. It's important that we have to address this. And then we have to address two things. Greed and corruption. There is so much greed out there. We actually are falling into the end of time prophecies where people will be so rich. Like money is going to be falling out of their mouth. They think that this is something, they're creating a trend where every young person feels, I don't need to go to school. I don't need to educate because I'm going to be the next Mark Zuckerberg or I'm going to be the next Dallas Maverick owner or the Yahoo guy because I forgot his name. I don't know how come his name's not coming on my tongue right now. It's because Mark Cuban, is because I'm just so rich. I'm just going to fall and make it happen. Brothers and sisters, fantasy is great, like, you know, I wish, I dream, but you're living in reality. At the end of the day, if you're going to put yourself in a strenuous position in order to get rich fast, it doesn't happen. It's very rare that it happens. And at the end of the day, you may not even see that wealth because it may just finish tomorrow. IRS is regulating it. They're going to tax it. FBI is getting involved in it. I'm saying one thing. Keep to what is consistent. Keep to what is normal. Yes, invest. I'm not saying don't invest. Go ahead and invest, but don't break your back into investing. Don't kill yourself if you lose money. And I want to end with one thing, Carl. Go back to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He had very tough days in Mecca. Angel visited him and said, Allah sends you greetings of peace. And he can convert the mountains of Mecca into gold for you so you can live a comfortable life. And he said, may peace and blessings be upon him. I would like to eat one day and thank Allah and fast one day and be grateful to Allah. Meaning, I don't want all that wealth. Because at the end of the day, what is it going to do for you? God has promised, Allah has promised your needs, but he has not taken responsibility of your desires. Today, we're complaining about our desires, not our needs. And we are shortchanging people their needs when it's supposed to be their right. There's a dua, a supplication of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which he said, Allahumma rizukni kafafan, O Allah, sustain me enough. Enough. Enough to get by today. Enough to wake up and get by tomorrow. Again, I did not lay out any fatwa or ruling on cryptocurrencies today. I talked about history of wealth, of naqd currencies and transactions, wealth that's used for transactions. And I brought forth in front of you a reality that you may take from it. There is no elimination of, there's no sense of privacy because there's a block and there's a blockchain that's controlling those blocks and they're observing those blocks. Something that spikes so fast and dips so fast and spikes so fast, just be aware of it because it's like a scissor that's moving. The chances of you getting through it without getting cut is 50%. And the chances of you being cut is 50%. So with that being said, Islam teaches us live simple, live easy. If Allah has given you, use it. Allah loves the beauty he sees on his servants. So if Allah has given you a lot of wealth, drive good cars, wear good clothing, give to people in good cause. But if Allah hasn't given you, don't be miserable, because that too is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So before we continue, we just want to give a quick shout out to Julie, who just commented on our Facebook page here. Julie, thank you for watching. Thank you for being part of this. And Julie says, your discussions are incredibly fascinating. I really, really, really hope that you gain more followers and are a large devoted following. May Allah reward you for all the good information you are spreading. So
thank you so much.
Thank you for that, Julie. We really appreciate that. We try. It's our little corner of the universe here, and we do the best we can with it. And it's comments like that that keep us motivated. So thank you, Julie. I think the one couple of things that I'm going to say before I throw it back to you for your closing remarks are that as a nerd, and I am a nerd, and I don't deny that, I like cryptocurrency. I like cryptocurrency. I like what it can be. I like where it's going. And in my conversations with other nonprofits and other lawyers and things like that, one of the things that everybody loves about it is the, not the anonymity so much, but the blockchain. So if it is misused for one in particular thing, they can trace that all the way back to where it started, from the person that mined it, the computer that mined that coin, right to where it was misused. And that's one of the things I like, because it's very traceable, very easy to, I mean, obviously all the users are encoded, so you don't know who's who. But somebody has the key to uncode those users, so you can see where the money's being spent and what's happening. I really like that effect. And the other thing is that it's evolution. And I know that sounds weird, but it is evolution. I mean, you spent a larger part of the program saying that sorry, Julie just made another comment. I was trying to read it. Hold on, Julie. 1 second. Hold that thought. Don't go nowhere. Saying that the evolution, we started with barter. I give you butter, you give me bread. We mm-hmm. have, you know, silver. We have gold. We have paper. We have paper backed by nothing. We have checks. We have debit cards. We have mobile apps that pay now. The next evolution is just to go beyond money itself and more into these blockchains. And I really think that that's where it is. Now, before I throw it back to you, let's review Julie's comment here. She said, sadly, there is a difference between intention of technology and the utilization of it. So like it was said, we must be wary of our intentions and our actions. Back to you.
That's really what it goes down to, Carl. It all goes down to intention. If you have $1,000 laying around and you don't need it, Don't put your eggs in one basket. Put some in gold, put some in silver, put some in a cryptocurrency. Go ahead and do it. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you're banking on putting $15,000 tonight in a Bitcoin, that tomorrow you're going to wake up, it's going to be $21,000, that's where you're going wrong. That's called your gamble. And Allah forbid it goes down to $2,000 before you tell your spouse where you put the money, you're going to commit suicide. So again, it's not worth it in that context. Carl, when it comes back to the block and the blockchain, just quickly, the mining process that it takes, the amount of energy it utilizes, the amount of wear and tear that it will come onto machines is all counterproductive in this evolution. I understand it's evolution. I understand we're moving forward an extra step, but we're going so fast from the next thing to the next thing that we are, because we're losing track. It's like, you know, when a person's stumbling, they're falling, right? Just say you're ice skating and you're about to trip. What you try to do is not trip, but you trip several times. So you kind of trip until you really fall on your face, where you could have maybe fell on your knee and just stabilized and got back up. But you got hyper. You're like, no, I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fall. And you're trying to grab onto the sideboards and you just keep on falling in different angles. And that's what I feel happened. We went from a very solid century-old system to evolutionizing that system, which then brought challenges. So we jumped to the next thing so we would ignore the challenges that the previous thing brought. The amount of electricity it's going to take to mine a Bitcoin is going to be equivalent to the country of Japan electricity. It's coming up soon. It's Japan or Tokyo. Forgive me if I'm saying it wrong because I studied this. It's going to take as much electricity as it does for the city of Tokyo. Okay. Number two is that a heat map could tell you where electricity is being used. Because remember, you need cooling facilities to make sure that the machines stay cool. That's why they're going to Iceland and Greenland and all these countries, which are super cold, that they don't have to spend that money to cool these things down. Anywhere where electricity is being pulled is a focal point that this is where they're being mined, or that's where something like this is happening. Again, technology is great, but it's like a knife. You could cut a fruit or you could stab someone. The person who invented it was to cut fruit. What many people are doing with it today are cutting fruit, but what many others are doing are stabbing people. So it's a double-edged sword. Understand in the context of where it's going, understand what it takes to mine one of these things, and understand there's no such thing as privacy, because at the end of the day, I was talking to my friend who invested in Bitcoin. I'll end with this. Yes, it's a complex algorithm or code, which is your Bitcoin, which is your currency, which can be used only in the exchange market to change it out for dollars or whatever else, or to buy or sell. But remember one thing, it's in your wallet, your e-wallet, and your e-wallet is controlled by your username and password. And I can promise you, Carl, that your username and password for two things electronically is the same. Yes or no?
Yeah, probably more than that, but whatever.
Exactly. I'm just going to say too, for all of us almost, at the end of the day, what's the use of all the high technology when you're going to use the same password, ABC123 or Cookie Monster? You know what I'm saying? That's not my password, but you know, understand. It's just, it's again, be careful. Don't follow the hype. And last words are, remember what the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said when Allah offered him the mountains to be gold, so he can live an affluent, rich life. It's not the numbers that you have in your life. It's the numbers that you use before you die. You could die as a millionaire, but the $1 million are in your bank. You are in two sheets in a grave. So at the end of the day, do not die in a state that you didn't benefit. Forget enjoying what you worked hard for. That's why our Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, passed from this world, and he had debt on him for armor that was given to a Jewish soldier in exchange of a Jewish man in exchange for currency that he had acquired for utilization. So that's our conversation tonight, Carl, on cryptocurrencies, the evolution of wealth, and the purpose that Allah created wealth for. And I hope our listeners should tune in. Our question of the week to everyone is, would you invest in the cryptocurrency and why? It's a double question. Would you invest in cryptocurrency and why? If it's a yes, why? We would like to know. Thank you so much.
And I will also add one more tiny little factoid because this is something that I learned when I was studying for my master's at Georgetown. My master's has a technology background in it. And one of my professors always taught us, and we were talking at the time about Google Glasses, that everything, every new technology, every new everything always has five iterations before it becomes cemented. And I will tell you, as somebody that is into cryptocurrency, there are a lot more than five cryptocurrencies out there. And Allahu alam what the market is going to do. So as Imam Azhar has said more than once, be careful with what you do. Be careful on how you're investing.
And don't put all your eggs in one basket.
All your eggs in one basket.
Thank you.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of another episode of Raw Islam with Imam Azhar. Thank you for tuning in. Join us every Tuesday night here on Facebook and subscribe to the audio podcast on iTunes. And you can check out this and other shows from the Venn Network at thevennetwork.org. And to support shows like this, head over to patreon.com and search Venn Network, and you can support shows like this and other shows. And until next week, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for tuning in. We thank you for listening. We thank you for sharing. Julie, thank you for your comments. You're the hero tonight. And I will say thank you, Imam Azhar. And until next week, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Muslims entering the United States. First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find them oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.